you know, my experience is if you believe in what you're doing, don't take no for an answer. You know, there may be people with, you know, shiny, I was going to say shiny suits, but that's not a good suit. But there are people with qualifications, people who should know better, will say, no, you can't do that. That's not what you should be doing. I don't believe in it. You know, very politely, shake their hand and go on.
And prove them wrong.
And prove them wrong. I mean, you know, we founded Cambridge Silicon Radio as the world's Bluetooth leader. We make more chips than anybody else, turn over 800 million a year. And the number of people, when we started the company, who said, what? You're starting a semiconductor company in Cambridge? Cambridge, Massachusetts, maybe, but yeah, move to California. That's where you need to be. And we said, no, it's not necessary. All our customers are actually not in America. They're in, you know, the China, Japan, Korea. So we believed in what we did. We didn't take no for an answer. And eventually we were proved right. This is a very good place to run a semiconductor company. So, you know, don't thump the table. Don't shout, but quietly believe in what you do and just keep plugging ahead, and you'll be successful.
Most overnight successes have actually a 10 or 15 year lifetime. There are very few companies that really make lots of success without a lot of hard graft. Just listening to Dan talk about BTG growing and sort of collapsing, I've also subscribed to the view that you build a company to last. And actually, we within the company used a book called Built to Last by a guy called Jerry Porritt, who'd done a bunch of studies on Fortune 500 companies in the US and what were the factors that meant they could survive and what were the factors that meant they didn't survive. And I've always taken the view that, to some degree, building a company, it sounds weird, but it's like having children. Part of it is you want that company to survive without you. No one should be bigger than the company, ultimately. Everybody involved in the company is part of the team. The success is down to the team. It's not about individuals. And I felt that basically my child, if you like it, if you don't mind me putting it that way, had got to the point where it needed to be independent. Conversely, I also think I'm unemployable nowadays. I find it very difficult working for companies, and as companies get larger, you have to put in place more structure, you have to put in place more rules and regulations. Yeah. And frankly, I could say, no, I don't want to have to worry about that sort of thing anymore. And when you're a small company, people will work 24 hours a day, not because you tell them to, but because they all believe they want to do it. It's just part of us against the rest of them. Because just as Phil was saying, at Arm, we couldn't get any VC funding whatsoever. I might have now a role as a part-time VC, but the VCs were all, no, you know, it's not possible. We ain't going to make this a business success. We proved them wrong as well. But that's why I left. It had got to the point where it was going to stand alone, and I was then free to do other things. And one of the things I absolutely acknowledge is that my family had to sacrifice a lot in terms of my lack of availability in the early days. My daughter used to think my office was in Japan because I was spending so much time there. I rarely went to concerts and things or school shows that my kids were doing. Even when I was in England, I was out having dinner with customers practically every night of the week. And there came a point when I said, no, I've got to pay my family back, and I've got to be around for them. Unfortunately, I could, so I just gave up.
Right, I guess I'm 60-ish now. Next year I am. I was 50 when co-founded the company. The other founders were, on the whole, about 10, 15 years younger than me. And I've come to the conclusion that what I enjoyed then, and indeed what I enjoy now, is, like Jamie, you know, it's the seat of the pants management. It's moving very quickly. It's doing things without asking people. But once you're a public company, you have lots of rules about what you should do and how you should manage risk and what you should say to people. And I didn't enjoy that as much as the early stuff. There are many people who do, so you know, they can do the job. I know that when at least some of the founders left Cambridge Consultants, we got to see or were told about some of our reports, annual reports, appraisals when we left. Well, perhaps won't mention any other names, but I know mine and another guy. It said these guys are good, but pretty unmanageable. So
it comes a good effort.
it comes back down to you know, yourself and your self-belief. You know, don't be silly and don't thump the table and brag. But if you believe that what you're doing is right, then continue to try to convince others, and eventually you'll be able to. Simple as that, I think.
I mean, there are lots of different motivations. People are motivated very differently. And if you look at someone like Richard Branson, or Sir Richard Branson,
yeah,
you would think externally he's got loads of confidence, he's got incredible drive. Actually, when you hear him speak, even to a relatively small audience, he's not as brash and as self-promoting as you might have thought. But I'm not saying this is the only way you need to be, but as a VC, a part-time VC, I look for characteristics like humble confidence. So someone who doesn't need to boast about it, but they know they're right, and they're quite happy to sort of tell you how they're right if you ask, but if you don't need to, they're not going to force it down your throat. And egoless ambition. So I want, when I'm looking at companies, I want people who've got great ambition, but it's ambition to drive the idea forward. It's not about self-aggrandizement. They're not about trying to drive themselves forward. And I'm not saying that those are therefore the only factors you should, the only type of people you should invest in, but I think those are very important factors in terms of driving businesses forward, making businesses successful.
And of course the cultural aspects are very important. I remember we have an American here. We did I'm a Cambridge Angel, and we receive a lot of pitches from companies wanting to raise money. Now, I remember about 6 months ago, we do this on Tuesday morning, roughly a month, every month, and we'd had a pitch from six people, and we sat around the table, and there was a visitor from California there, and we talked to each other after the sixth person had left, and we said, yeah, good bunch of people. You know, I like the second one, and we like the fourth one, but on the whole, they were all good. And the American guy from California said, gee, he said, I just don't get it. He said, you know, you may see that, he said, but, you know, what most of the people did is they said, good opportunity here. On the one hand, this is, you know, why it's good. On the other hand, there are potentially a few problems. He said, in America, you know, he said, this would be the opportunity, and wham, we'd be going for it. And you wouldn't hear about any of the downside at all. But, you know, there are a few cultural differences. But underlying that, basically, people are the same wherever they are.
Actually, that's one of the fun things I've always enjoyed about doing business, you know, learning cultural differences.
Yeah.
And those cultural differences, you get huge cultural differences in companies as well. So I naively imagined that when I went to Japan and did business with Sony and Sharp, they'd all be the same. They're very different companies.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know if you, I would have thought you all probably heard of Crossing the Chasm, Geoffrey Moore.
Yes.
Well, companies are like that as well. There are some companies that are early adopters. There are some companies that they will not adopt technology until it's really working. And so the same sorts of approaches you take to marketing to consumers, you think about in terms of marketing to businesses. And VCs or whatever, whoever you're going to deal with, think about what their motivations are and whether they're the right people to get engaged with at the time, because you're just wasting yours and their time if it's the wrong... If they're VCs who only invest in late stage and you're an early stage, it's not even worth the bother of going to see them. Do a little bit of homework first in terms of the sort of companies or the people you're going to engage with.